Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 5:05. You're listening to Women Talk on Talk Radio Europe. With me in the studio today, Katie Wells and Tracy Lecher, and hopefully Fiona Poole on her way. We shall see. How are you doing, ladies?
Very good, thank you.
Lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming in. So, if you're listening at home, if you would like to get involved, you are more than welcome to. You can give us a call on +34. No, that's the WhatsApp. You can send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. You can give us a call on 952 78 4000. You can send an email to studio@tre.radio. So there's an article here that I saw today that I was kind of drooling over. Looking at this cruise, I've been looking at this before, Wonder of the Seas, it's called. It has an ice rink on board, 19 swimming pools, room for 9,200 people. It's longer than London's Shard is tall. It's the biggest cruise ship in the world, and it's set sail. I just thought it would be interesting, fun thing to chat about, whether that sounds like your idea of hell or whether you think it sounds brilliant. You're shaking your head, Katie.
Yeah, no, for me, that would be hell. I've never actually been on a cruise.
Interesting.
My father used to take us on many holidays, but never cruises, probably because of the costs of them. But no, for me to be around that many people all in one place and not be able to go for a long walk somewhere along a beach, no, it wouldn't be for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tracy, have you ever been on a cruise?
I haven't been on a cruise, but I did used to recruit beauty therapists for the cruise liners. And once in Jamaica, we were staying in this hotel, and all of a sudden I looked out my window to see this massive great big cruise liner coming towards me, and I thought, that's not going to stop. And it was quite amazing. But then they kind of stopped. You see all the people getting off, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning or something, and no, to be honest, no.
It's funny, isn't it? I would have said the same as you both as well. My husband and I always thought, no, not cruising, not for us, and maybe something when we're older. You know, it was always associated with something that the older people would do.
Less mobile.
possibly so. But we did it on our honeymoon. Oh. We went on a cruise on our honeymoon, a Caribbean cruise, and it was the most amazing holiday that we've ever been on. And we've been on 2 cruises since. And we absolutely love it.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely love it.
And what was the best thing you liked about it?
The booze.
I didn't say that. That was Tracy.
That wasn't me.
For anyone listening at home. Well, I mean, to be fair, that one of the most amazing things about it, so it depends where you go. We did a Caribbean cruise. So every morning, pretty much, there was a couple of sea days, but most mornings you would wake up in a different country.
Okay.
And you'd wake up, you know, one of us would wake up before the other one. It would be like 6:30, 7:00. The sun would be shining up early, way earlier than we'd normally get up. And it was like, look, we're arriving. This is Barbados. And we'd jump out of bed and we'd stand on the balcony, take loads of photos as we're arriving into Barbados. And it was so exciting. You'd spend the day there, you'd get back on the ship, you know, have lovely food and drink, and then you'd go to bed and you'd wake up, oh, we're in St. Lucia today. I mean, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, I could get that. That would be good
And
fun.
All the facilities on board.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a theatre.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But this one's got an ice rink and 19 swimming pools.
Wow.
19?
You could actually go for a walk on there, Luke.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things they have. That they, you know, they always have a big gym. You know, there's loads of facilities to keep fit. They always have like a running track around the ship that tells you how long. So whether it's a kilometre, 2 kilometres, half a kilometre or whatever to get around the ship. So if you want to, you know, you can do a walk every day. You can do a run. I was training for my half marathon our cruise in November. So I did a proper run
on
there.
What are they saying the cost is for this? Is there any pricing?
Oh, I don't know. Let me have a look, see if I can find
Let's
have a look for a price. Oh, I can't find a price. No, I'm not sure. It depends where it goes, obviously. I mean, this one, the maiden voyage was from Florida to the Caribbean, which is what we did when we did our cruise. A few grand, I should imagine, depending on where you're going and how long for. I mean, if it's a smaller cruise under 5 days, then it could easily be under a grand.
Sure.
And the thing that I feel like I'm selling cruising. I'm really not on commission for this.
I'll just get a free cruise ride.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But no, the idea of going to all different, you know, it's all 5-star. So going to all different countries in the same holiday, if you did that and you flew to the different countries and stayed in 5-star hotels, and, you know, went out for dinner all the time, breakfast, lunch and dinner, it would cost you way more than this
fortune.
Would. Cost an absolute fortune. So I think the value is
and
incredible.
The staff is going to be, like, super, super for you.
Yeah.
Because they've been so well trained. You know, they have to go by the captain's ethics of sailing the seven seas, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you're going to get the best service, no doubt.
And we thought we were, the ship we went on was nowhere near as big as this, but still 3,000 and something people. And you automatically think, gosh, there's loads of people and there's going to be queues everywhere.
Yeah.
We hardly ever did any queuing at all. No more than you would if you were going to a hotel reception and you were checking out. You know, maybe there'd be a little bit of a queue. We didn't really experience big queues. And when you've got lots of different pools, you know, the people are spread out.
Yeah,
you know,
well, there's 7,000 people, you're going to need a lot of pools for that, aren't you?
Definitely.
And what was interesting when I read on this article, that there's enough beer on the cruise liner to fill all 19 pools twice.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? God. You can just imagine. Yeah. But there's quizzes like every day and stuff as well.
Excellent. Yeah. You'd love it then, Hannah.
Yes.
Like, you've slightly sold me on that. So
There you go. I should be on commission. There was an article that I know Dave was talking about on the breakfast show the other day, which made me chuckle, talking about certain items or dishes, food that used to be very popular, used to be very fashionable, that maybe a lot of youngsters today may not have had. And I was reading through, feeling a little bit like a youngster myself, thinking, nope, I haven't had that either. Jellied eels.
Yay.
Yeah?
Yes, I love them.
Really?
Absolutely love them. Been brought up on them. Yep. I know, it's crazy. When I go back to the UK, I just have to go and find my jelly eels. And they actually do them in Tesco's.
Do they?
Yes. But I have to get there before 12 o'clock in the morning or midday, otherwise they're all gone.
Really? So they're really popular?
Yeah, they hide them for me with a little man.
You've got your own guy on the inside and fantastic.
A little fisherman. he hides them behind the trout.
Oh, my God. I've got to say, it's something I've never tried.
Oh, same.
Just the name itself puts me off.
Exactly.
But I think, is it not more of a southern thing?
Oh, definitely.
London.
Yeah.
So being
London.
From the north, I never really...
No.
It was more cockles or something like that.
Yeah, see, that's on the list. Pie, mash and liquor. I have had that once before.
Yeah. No, I've never tried that.
I quite like that.
Pepper and lemonade, love it. Lemonade, I mean vinegar.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kedgeree. I don't think I've had kedgeree.
That doesn't...
I've never even heard of it.
Really?
Egg and salmon or something. No, egg and kippers.
Kippers and potatoes, I think. It's like a kind of... I think. I don't know.
No.
Haggis. I've never had haggis either.
No.
I think I've had it once when I was in Scotland.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, obviously, I didn't finish it.
Yeah, no. I've tried it once. Literally, I think I might have spat it out.
Oh,
it was
really?
Horrendous. Yeah,
okay.
No, not for me.
Yeah. See, this is interesting. Steak well done. I would. Do you eat steak?
I do.
I would have it medium to well done.
I would also.
Would you?
Although when I was younger, and I think this is probably something that I got from my father, was that I would always have it kind of medium rare.
Yeah, so most people do.
But now, I mean, I don't eat it that much, but if I do, then I can't even have it pink anymore.
Same.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Exactly.
Usually you go the other way around as you get older, don't you? But no.
No, I've got a friend who eats it really well done.
Yeah.
And we've been to some lovely restaurants here and it comes out like a, crunchy piece.
Shoe leather. Shoe leather.
Yes. I just don't understand how people can sit there with blood on their plate.
Yeah.
I
find that
either.
Really...
Dipping the chips into it.
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. Quick move on. Welsh rarebit.
That's cheese on toast, isn't
That's
it?
What I thought.
Yeah, it's... Isn't it cheese with...
mustard or something?
No, what's the brown sauce?
HP.
No.
Worcestershire?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, cheese and mustard sauce, yeah.
I'm not sure I've had that.
I've never really eaten it, but I used to work in a cafe when I was about 14, and that used to be very popular with the with the clients.
Yeah. Baked Alaska? Isn't that like baked ice cream?
Maybe. Yeah, I think
it's ice cream that's...
Isn't that a meringue kind of thing? No, I don't know.
There's going to be people listening to this show.
I know who's shouting.
So we're
How do you not know that?
Yeah, we're talking about youngsters and we're realising that's us.
Yay!
Yes,
we're
youngsters.
Young.
Yeah, brilliant. No, baked Alaska is ice cream that's been, like, coated in something, like
in a
fried
cake?
Or something.
Oh.
And something like that.
I don't know.
So clearly we haven't had that. Steak Diane. I thought that was just a type of sauce.
I did too.
It's a mushroom sauce, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I love mushroom sauce.
It's not like a stroganoff, but it's just a full piece of steak. Right?
Steak with mushroom sauce.
Steak with mushroom sauce.
Oh, well, that would be my preference, mushroom sauce.
I think so.
Liver and onions.
No.
No.
Ooh,
just
depends.
No.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of offal at all.
No.
Offal's awful.
I quite like it if it's done well. I think you have to have... carbs, liver, don't you, or something?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't want anyone's liver.
No. Black pudding.
No.
Don't get it.
No.
Definitely not.
Not a fan. Not a fan at all. Spotted dick.
Don't do spotted dick.
I used to have that. Growing up with custard and things. Yeah, absolutely love it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, haven't had it for years.
You can tell how fussy I am with my food, can't you?
Savaloy and chips. Ooh, you would have had that.
Savaloy and chips.
Yeah, love that. Lancashire hot pot.
Well, yeah.
Being from the north?
Absolutely. Been from Lancashire, but I was never a fan of boiled potatoes, so no, I wouldn't eat it. I'd pick the potatoes out.
Right.
Oh, we've had a message from Margaret who's telling us about some of these foods.
Oh,
thank you, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
Steak Diane, cream, mushroom and Worcestershire sauce.
Oh.
You had me at cream and mushroom, but not with Worcestershire sauce.
That
thank
sounds
you.
Nice.
Thank you, Margaret. Ploughman's lunch. Definitely had loads of those.
Yeah.
Love a ploughman's. Yep. Bubble and squeak. I had that last week.
Did you?
My dad makes a
mean
bubble and squeak.
Really, I don't think I've... tried it.
That's
it is the old vegetables and potato fries.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's not the idea of it is that it's leftovers, things you've kind of got
leftover
in the fridge,
Sunday roast.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. So
there's
potatoes and vegetables. That makes a difference. What else have we got here? Bread and butter pudding.
It's okay.
I've not really had it.
No. Maybe again, I would. I've had it.
Don't like
up.
It when it's really soggy. Has no, to be nice no. and crispy on the top.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah. Gammon with pineapple ring.
No.
No.
I'm not a lover of gammon.
No. I just don't do pineapple. So I'd have the gammon, but sin pineapple.
Pork pie. I'm surprised about that. I would have thought that would still be a popular kind of thing to have.
If I'm going to have any, it would just be a little piece at Christmas.
Yeah.
With some piccalilli.
It's a good kind of... It's a good snack, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good kind of picnic-y...
I actually like the crust. It's the...
Yes, that's the naughty bit. Yes.
There you go.
Flambé. Oh, Margaret said flambé. Steak Diane is flambéed, all of that together.
Ah.
Oh, like a bit of flambé. Thank you, Margaret. Okay.
It's making me hungry now.
I know, same here. We better take a break there.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Katie Wells and Tracy Lecher. There's an article here with the headline, "Would you eat luxury treats that are past their best before dates if they were half price?" So there are various websites. I think this sounds absolutely brilliant. So, for example, a pink box of champagne truffles. There's wine, a beautiful wine's Cote de Rhone. It says here, this website, or various websites, offer 20% to 80% off top brand names. The truffles, for example, were reduced from £28 to £8. The wine, particularly delicious, €2 cheaper than its RRP, because these items are either approaching or slightly past their best before date, meaning that although they're still safe to eat, supermarkets and other retailers no longer want to put them on the shelves. I think this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, what a great way to save on wastage.
Exactly. You
know, for the environment and for, well, just for so many things. I mean, I just think it's fantastic. I think it might depend on what the product is. I mean, there are certain things that I'm a little bit funny about, maybe having that might show that it's the expiration date.
Mm. But things like meat and dairy, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think if there's wine or...
Well, you can still have gone off wine, though, can't you? Which can make you slightly ill.
Well,
but I think if you,
but
you
if
know...
it tastes okay.
Yeah, I think if you know your stuff and you know how to smell wine and taste wine correctly, then you should be okay.
So with general kind of... So not including necessarily meat or dairy then, with items that you have at home, do you look at the date? Do you, if something was... near that date, would you kind of automatically discard it, or would you like smell it, or look at what you know, how kind of
I'm not sure really, because I think I know my husband would, he'd probably just throw it.
Mine but, tends to do that.
I would probably smell it and just see. I mean, if it was on the date or just 2 to 3 days later, then I probably would. I mean, vegetables actually, you know, some of them seem absolutely perfect still.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and fruits, things like that, they can stay for ages, I think, way past their sell-by date.
Or sometimes they go a week before their sell-by date.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're thinking, I've only bought that yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is it already off?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think my dad's certainly a fan of keeping old food. A few years ago, we went to a barbecue at his and we asked for the tomato ketchup, as you do. Mm-hmm. It's obviously something that he doesn't eat very much of, because we're all passing it around the table, putting it onto our plate, and I think one of us checked it and it was from like 1998 or something.
Seriously
I'll never forget that.
Brilliant. And did you all eat it? Was it all
over? No,
right?
I think once we soon realised, we all wiped it off our plate quite quickly.
Oh, that's brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. I remember during lockdown, this was great fun. A friend of mine put a post up on Facebook. She said, I'm doing a clear out of the kitchen, you know, doing a big tidy up and decluttering, as a lot of people did. And she found some herbs, and the sell-by date was 2009, I think it was. Oh, mm-hmm. And she said, come on then, I challenge you to clear out your kitchen cupboards and see if we can find the earliest date. So I shared it with friends on Facebook, you know, and people were sharing it and it was going out to quite a big audience. And one of my friends, Letica, who lives in Fuengirola, who may well be listening, I don't know, she found, I think, again, it was the spices or herbs. And that was from 1998.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
It's fantastic. And this was like 2 years ago. Oh,
I mean, if you think about it, brilliant. If you've not moved house for, say, 20 or 30 years,
yeah.
and you've still got those products at the back of your cupboard, then, yeah, especially herbs, like dried herbs and things,
yeah,
you're not
yeah.
going to think, are you, oh, I better check the date on it.
No. Still use those? I'm not sure, really.
I bet the flavour, I expect, would be would go sure quite a bit. It yeah. may not do you harm, dried herbs.
Same with medicines, isn't it? I mean, my dad being a doctor, it's one thing he used to always make sure that, oh, my God, that's out of date, Dad. I can't eat that. I can't take that. And he's just like, no, it's fine. It's just going to be less
effective.
Yeah. So you still find to take it. Okay. I'm not advising people do that, but that's what he told me.
Interesting. This really made me chuckle. I thought this sounded like a brilliant idea. So the headline is, Why Every Woman Should Hire a Male Cleaner. He doesn't make small talk, never judges your messy cupboards, and won't flirt with your husband.
Yes. I want one.
How brilliant is the idea of having a male cleaner?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love this idea.
Funny.
Yeah, this guy's called Martin, no?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. He's reading it, yeah.
And he's from the Czech Republic. He's 32. And, he's a great cleaner. And he does a bit of DIY and he's...
Oh, good.
He would be perfect in my house because nobody can do DIY. And I have three men that I live with. Well, two sons and a partner. Just don't have three boyfriends.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Exactly. I just think this is a fabulous idea.
Yeah.
How do we feel about... Have we got cleaners?
I used to, but no, not now.
How funny.
Just me.
I used to as well.
Yeah.
So was it COVID? Was it lockdown where you stopped or before? Yeah, same here.
COVID. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, I now work from home. So I'm at home a lot more. So whereas I used to be out on the road a lot of the time, so I was never at home. So
yeah,
I think it's just a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've just stopped being as lazy.
We share it as well. Mike's really good at doing floors.
Good.
Excellent. Mine need doing.
Yeah. We'll do the floors and the windows, and he forgets to do the surfaces. So I do all that.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of share it.
Really. Yeah, we do.
I've had a couple of ex-boyfriends actually that were really good at cleaning. Like, probably more.
Ex-boyfriends?
Like, yes, yeah. Seriously, like, yeah.
Not saying anything about your current partner then.
No, yeah. Sorry, Ken. He knows.
Yeah, well, there was an article that we were talking about earlier, which we can mention it now. Oh my God, I don't think I've got this. Yes, it is. Because it was that Spanish research that showed that women do more housework than men. You know, not really surprising.
Yeah.
But I was saying, to be honest, you know, big up the men in my life. They do, my dad and my husband do loads.
Yeah.
My husband does 95% of the cooking for a start.
Yeah, mine does.
That's good.
Yeah.
And the shopping.
Oh, wow.
He's actually my housewife.
Oh, my God. I need to trade Ken in.
Yeah. And he does the washing.
Oh, really?
That's fantastic.
See, I love the washing.
He'll do mostly his things, and then I have to stop him. Can you put my jeans in there as
well? Yeah, okay. Oh, no, I'm quite obsessed with the washing.
Yeah, but he always gets there before me, because I'm usually on the computer, so.
Gosh.
And he just, if we go out shopping, he would never come clothes shopping or any shopping that I would want to do. It's purely food, because he likes to, he just likes to look at the fruits and the vegetables. It's sad.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it amazing?
The wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's interesting how these kind of generalizations of how households work and how men are supposed to be and women are supposed to be has just changed. Just changed dramatically over the years.
And absolutely. And do you know what?
Thing.
Why not? I mean, Yeah, I mean, if I needed to get a cleaner and it was a guy and he was very good and he wasn't any more expensive than the woman, yeah. Then yeah, why not? Absolutely. And you know what? I think it'd be great. And I think they write that in the article that, you know, I've got two sons. And yeah, I would love to see my son seeing a guy coming to clean the house. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's a great impression for them.
Yeah, definitely. Good kind of role model.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back after the break.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Katie Wells and Tracy Lecher. There's an article here talking about models. George at Asda has used a plus size model with predominant stretch marks to advertise its saucy lingerie and suspenders range for Valentine's Day. So this was obviously a month or so ago. The body empowering model is wearing an orange lingerie set. And the use of a larger model instead of the usual size zero is apparently seen as edgy and daring, a triumph for diversity and body positivity. What do we think? Well, do we think it's a good thing?
I think if she feels good about it, then go for it. You know, why not?
Like, how would you feel as a consumer? You know, we're used to seeing mannequins that are all like size zero and things. Do we think it's good, a good representation of maybe more normal women to have larger mannequins?
I think we have to be a little bit more realistic in society now. I think, you know, just having these super beautiful zero size models, you know, it's putting far too much pressure on younger girls, not just even younger girls, you know, middle-aged women, you know. A lot of women feel, you know, bad. They feel down. They feel ugly. They feel fat or whatever because of everything that's been put into the media and portraying that, oh, well, this is what a woman should look like if you're wearing this Valentine's, you know, bra and lingerie set, you know. And so, no, I think within reason, I think it's the right thing to do. But I also think it's still got to kind of look nice as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think it has to be done tastefully.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's fear of it going a little bit too much the other way, you know. Mm. And there was another company as well that did it. And, I mean, the models, they're still beautiful. Do you know what I mean? They're plus size still. But it does concern me that there's still a lot of them are airbrushed as well.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I think we have to show our scars as well and marks.
I like that. I think it's brilliant showing a model with stretch marks.
The fact that
we're talking about it as if it's something different. It's not different. Yeah. It should be normal because
it's all the other stuff
normal.
That's different because it's all airbrushed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We have a new addition to the panel, so I'm going to take a break right there.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is 25 to 6 and you're listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Katie Wells, Tracy Lecher and Fiona Poole. We've got a new one. Yay. How are you doing,
Hello.
Fiona?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good. Lovely to see you. So there's an article here talking about emojis. So emojis that we would all use on texting. It says here almost 9 in 10 Britons are happier using emojis to express emotions than talking in person. A third of this study said they would prefer sending someone a picture on a smartphone when they felt awkward rather than discussing their troubles face to face. The research showed that 87% of us find it easier to show emotions with visual aids such as emojis and memes. See, one part of me like agrees and understands, and then another part of me feels really sad because it depends what emotions and how emotional we're kind of talking here.
But I think, okay, what's the difference with... Well, okay, so we do it because we're just being a bit lazy.
Yeah.
And it's easier than just typing out the word. Oh, wow, I'm really happy. You send a happy face.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's really sad that the days have kind of gone where you just actually pick up the phone and actually have a good old telephone conversation. Or like it says in that article, you actually meet face-to-face.
Yeah.
But
it's... Well, yeah, if someone shares some bad news with you, if you just replied with a sad face, you know, a crying face... Mm. I guess that maybe might come across as a little bit, not insensitive, but maybe depending on the situation, it would require more of a kind of answer, as opposed, you know, doing a happy face saying, oh, you know, I'm really excited, can't wait to see you, sending a happy face back. I wouldn't be offended at all by that, and would just, you know, that's kind of normal because we are used to communicating with emojis. But it depends on the situation. If someone's being, you know, being really emotional, sharing their feelings in a kind of sad way, I'm not sure whether,
and it
an
depends on whether they want to speak to you about it. They might not necessarily, you know, they might just want to give you the news. I mean, for example, I actually had a friend a couple of weeks ago, unfortunately her mother passed away, so it was exactly this situation, but she actually put on a message, I wanted to let you know, but I'm kind of not ready to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
so obviously, you know, I put a nice message back, but there were a few of these images on there, sad face and broken hearts and things like that, because I think it does actually emphasize
how you're feeling
and sometimes you don't know, but you don't have the words,
and that does express it perfectly.
I'm kind of a bit 50-50 on it, really.
Yeah,
I think I am as well, really, because you know, obviously when I'm there with my if I'm speaking with my daughter all the time on the phone, sometimes I just haven't got that time to write all those words after a conversation as such. So sometimes, like, for example, my little granddaughter's not well, hasn't been well last night, so I then was rushing off to a meeting this morning to see how, you know, I couldn't write everything I wanted to, so I just put, hope she's better, blah blah blah, and kiss kiss, you know, emojis, hugs, all the rest of it, I'll call you.
It's interesting because for people who don't use smartphones and emojis, you know, there might be some, dare I say it, older people who are thinking, what's wrong with picking up the phone? Exactly what you said, you know, because this is a modern thing. Before we had emojis, before we had smartphones, before we were able to send text messages, your only way of communicating would have been by a phone. So if somebody wasn't well and you wanted to say something to them, you would pick up the phone and say, I understand you're not well. And you would prioritise that over a meeting or a lunch date or whatever. We live differently.
I agree with you, Hannah. I'm the same as you. I will. It depends on who I'm talking to, actually. So if it is somebody like my mum, then I'll pick the phone up. Although she has started sending me emojis now, so I think we've moved to that area. But we still, I tend to use sentences and emojis. I'm still in that middle ground. I love the thumbs up. That's my favourite emoji.
That's
a nice,
best.
Quick reply to say, yep, got it.
Yeah.
On my way, we'll never be late again. That sort of thing. But I'm still, I write the sentence and then I like to add the emoji at the end of the sentence for me. Bit of both.
Bilingual.
Exactly.
That's what I do. But one example, actually, that started to work well for me is if I'm trying to get hold of the office back in the UK and and nobody's coming back to me, then I'll go onto the WhatsApp. And if I say, please, 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 can you call me? We need to discuss. Ignored. The moment I start putting the praying hands there, I get a call back.
Really?
It's like, it's quite funny.
So the praying hands means urgent.
Yeah, the praying hands to me is please, please, get back to me.
That's interesting.
What about a meme? Should send them a meme.
What's a meme?
Oh, yes.
Like
a GIF.
Like a little video clip.
Yeah, like a short video clip that repeats over itself.
Right,
there are some quite funny ones, actually.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, they're good.
We've had a message from Paul who says, worst thing is using the wrong one for the sad face. Yeah. So there's an emoji which has a smiley face but has like a teardrop, but I think it's more like a sweating kind of thing, suggesting that you're hot as opposed to sad, because the sad face has the teardrop but it has a distinct sad face.
That's right, yeah, or sending it the other way around, you know, somebody sending you something happy or something, something nice, and you're sending something sad back, or the other way around.
And he gives another example which I've seen many times with people, that lol. And what lol means, because lol is laugh out loud, but some people think it means lots of love. And I've seen lots of times when people have said on Facebook some sad news about somebody dying and someone puts LOL and you're like, no.
Oh.
They're obviously putting that for lots of laugh, yes. But it means laugh out loud and it's very inappropriate.
Yeah, I just thought it was laugh out loud.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is laugh out loud.
Lots of love.
But
right.
I think some people have got confused. I've had another message in saying how far we have advanced. It's a picture of like hieroglyphics from 2000 BC compared, there's like a whole load of hieroglyphics
compared to the symbols,
emojis now and how it's changed, definitely. Thank you for that. We'd take a break. We haven't got any more breaks left. We shall have to keep talking. So, Valentine's Day. There was a few articles about Valentine's Day. I know it was last month, but I thought it was an interesting topic to talk about. We are all with partners, yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yes. Okay. Valentine's Day, some people think of it as a massively commercial thing that they absolutely don't buy into, don't see the point of going along with any of it, you know, because you just tell your partner you love them whenever you want to, as opposed to on the day where you're told you have to. And then others celebrate it every year. How do you feel about Valentine's Day?
Well,
I personally don't celebrate it.
You don't?
No, we don't. No.
Okay.
I don't know. I've just never really had.
Never.
Maybe as a child, you know, you'd get the odd Valentine's card and stuff and rose. But no, never really celebrated it, really.
So don't get a card or anything?
No, and as my other half says that, you know, well, every day is like Valentine's Day with me. So, where are the flowers then?
Exactly.
Not had any all year.
My husband, he always likes to celebrate it. He's more that way with the Valentine's Day than, you know, birthdays and things.
Okay.
Like. Romantic,
yeah. Yeah, but we didn't really this year for some reason. I don't even know what day it was on. Was it
It was a Monday.
It was a Monday, yes.
Monday.
Week before
That's
my birthday.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That might be why I never really celebrate it either, because for me, it's the week after is my birthday.
Yeah.
It's obviously more important.
Yes, of course, of course.
Sure. Well, it's a very special day in our house, actually. The 14th of February was our very first date. Some 20-odd years ago. And he turned up with a red rose in his hands, ladies. So I knew from the offset, a white shirt and a red rose.
Yeah.
We're in for a good one here. Yeah. So it is our first date anniversary.
Oh, that's special, then.
And I have to say he's listening now and he's lovely. He's much more romantic than I am.
Oh.
And we also have our wedding anniversary the week later. So we do a little combination.
Yeah.
I think it's actually it is commercial, and I don't agree with all that, but that's only if you let it. The sentiment of Valentine, if you've got a partner or you've got a loved one and you stop in the world and just take some time out just to celebrate that partnership is lovely, because unless it's an anniversary or special occasion, you probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So don't agree with the commercial side of it,
the
same as I don't agree with Easter eggs appearing just after Christmas and all of that, but the sentiment of Valentine, I think, is still something lovely.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is nice. And I think it's nice for newbies who just, like, you know, getting to know each other around about that time.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice then.
We always celebrate it. We normally go away for Valentine's. We normally go away for the weekend, either the weekend before or the weekend after. This year we were planning to go away, but then we decided not to go away and spend more money on the dinner instead, as we were saving on the hotel. So we went to a more expensive restaurant.
Oh, lovely.
I can't remember what we did this year. We did do something, but I think it must have been at the weekend rather than
which is fine.
Kind of went out for a nice meal, which I think I always
buy him a little present, and it's always something connected to the kitchen, going back to him loving cooking. And last Valentine's Day, it was really embarrassing because I didn't think about the kind of connotations of the present I bought him. So he went really romantic last year and got perfume, chocolates and a rose. I bought him a meat cleaver.
Oh, is that a message, Anna?
Which just looks so bizarre.
Yes.
But he was delighted.
I'm sure there's an emoji for that as well.
There must be. I don't know if any of you have seen the photograph from a few weeks ago of Rihanna, the singer Rihanna, who is pregnant. She was pictured at a Paris Fashion Week wearing the kind of stuff she'd normally wear, like not much. Sort of underwear stuff with a sheer top covering
negligee type thing.
Yes, covering her baby bump. And people were really, really offended, saying it's really inappropriate to dress like that when you're pregnant. You know, you should be more kind of covering up the bump and wearing more clothes and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to see if I want to read stuff from it. It's just a kind of general chat about the fact that how people were really, really offended. It was inappropriate. You know, should pregnant women be sexy or not?
But was that a fashion show, did you say?
Yes, but she wasn't in the fashion show. She was going to watch, but yeah.
But that's her look. That's her image, no?
Yeah.
So why should she all of a sudden have to change what she is just because she's carrying a child?
It's a natural thing.
I mean, you know, if everything was hanging out and on display, then okay, but then you just gotta
most of it is, to be fair. You can see a lot of her boobs. Yeah. She's wearing a lacy bra.
It doesn't offend me, if I'm honest.
No, me neither.
No, it doesn't matter. What I don't actually like, not her, is seeing, you know, some women and they've just got a crop top on and then they've got their leggings hanging underneath the bump.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's all on display. It's like it's a trophy.
Yeah. That, I think, you know... I don't know.
So do you think it should be kind of covered up to a certain extent?
I don't find that offensive.
No, that doesn't bother me at all.
And also, she's a star and she's at a fashion show where anything goes.
She's going to make a statement, isn't she, wherever she goes. She and I guess if you know Rihanna, she's often photographed with glasses of red wine and bottles of red wine in her hand coming out of restaurants. So I think that photo is a plus. She looks maternal as opposed to on her way out.
And hey, she gets people talking about her.
She does. Exactly.
And who are we to judge?
Absolutely.
Wear what you want, how you want.
Yes.
Live your life.
This is a very interesting one. Sky TV presenter Sarah has just had a baby on her own at 43. So she's had a sperm donor because she really wanted to have a child, doesn't have a partner. So she's had a baby at the age of 43. Her mum, Annie, is 72, and her mum is getting up in the night, changing nappies. And her mum also helped her pick the handsome Danish sperm donor. I thought this was a really, really
that is really interesting.
Interesting idea of... just the whole thing, doing that on your own.
I feel sorry
age,
for a poor mother.
I'm assuming her mum's having every minute and wanting to do it.
Would you want to redo all that again at 72? Was she 72?
Well, she sounds quite controlling, the mother, though. She chose the sperm donor. She's almost product managed.
Has to be a girl. Has to be blonde. Blue eyes.
Imagine.
I think as far as women doing it on their own, when they've done, perhaps they've had their career or they've not met the right person and they want to have a baby and they're quite able to do that by themselves, then why not, you know? And they've got a little bit of some support, obviously she has with her mum supporting her in all ways. You know, why not?
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often, to be honest, with people getting married. This is obviously a huge generalisation, but people getting married later, people having children later, women having caring more about their careers. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more that women are wanting to have kids at this kind of age, and that there aren't more women who haven't found a partner at this kind of age. And therefore, what do you do? Yeah.
But I think some women maybe don't necessarily want to do it with a partner. I think they might actually want to do it on their own. I mean, if you get to 40 and you've had a good career and you're totally financially independent, you don't need the support of anybody else, and you just really want a child.
Exactly.
You just really want to be your mother. It doesn't necessarily have to be about meeting the man and settling down with him and, you know, the old traditional ways that we're all used to.
They obviously... really really want to be a mum, yeah. and if they haven't got the partner in place, then go as you say, it. If they're financially yeah. stable, just thinking, okay, well, it's important to me to have a child. I don't want to wait and see, okay, if I don't meet a guy by the time I'm 45, then are we then near 50? Yeah. Then is it too late?
You know,
if
they're just going out and having a one night stand, just hoping, you know, yeah. why not do it in the correct in this yeah, way
yeah.
you know
yeah, yeah. absolutely
as long as you've got the support network behind you, I would say, because it must be very difficult to do it completely on your own.
Yeah,
you sure. know, that's a brave decision, so you do need your controlling mother, or you do need yeah. you need that support behind yeah. you, because otherwise it can be hard yeah. work. Hard.
Yeah, so I think it's a huge plus that if she's doing it on her own, that she has got her mother there to do the nappies and the
go mum.
Yeah,
go
mom. Definitely
super gran
absolutely. So should you ever tell your children about your rather racy past? Some say honesty is the best policy. Others say it'll give them a license to go wild too. So this is a kind of modern parenting dilemma, apparently. I don't know why it's a modern thing, but it's the whole idea, you know, would it be appropriate to kind of share with your youngsters at whatever age about things you've done in your past, whether it was to do with alcohol, drugs, sex, anything like that. Should it be kept separate, or should, you know, that? Go on, ladies.
Well, if I can start, I've got two teenage boys.
Yeah.
I had them when I was reasonably young, early 20s.
Yeah.
I'm a quite relaxed, laid-back mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're good boys, but yeah, I think they pretty much, well, they know a lot. I've not told them everything. I think you have to, you know, hold some privacy back. But I think when it comes to using it as an example in real life today and things that they should be maybe careful about and cautious about, then, yeah, I think you should tell them.
Okay.
Yeah, within reason.
I agree, because I've got son and daughter, had them young as well. And I never really kept anything from them because we were quite, you know, there's 15 years... 16 years between me and my daughter. Actually 17.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always kind of just... She's like my friend, really. Yeah. So we just... Yeah, I don't find anything about not...
I suppose the argument for not doing it is if you're telling them about drugs, let's say, you know, having done drugs when you're younger, how can you then tell them not to do it? If they can say, well, you did it, Mum, it was all right for you, so why can't I do it? You know, I guess that's the argument to why it could kind of be a bad idea.
Yeah.
But I think in today's society, if they want to try it, they'll try it anyway. Whether you pretend whether you've done it or you haven't done it or, you know, whatever you did in your past, I think trying to ignore the subject or not disclose anything about any past experience, I don't think it, I think it probably does more harm, because then if they do say, well, you know, I want to try it, or this happened or whatever, at least they can maybe come to you and discuss it with you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you keep it so hidden from them and keep it secret and wrap them up in a blanket when they're still 18, it's like, you can't do that.
I quite agree. I agree with you completely. I think it needs to be an open, everyday conversation. Don't make it into a secret or something to be put in the safe and locked away. Keep it that it's every day, because then you're at a teenager's, obviously, you mothers, you've got to pick the right age time with your own children when to do this with, and that varies. But in my day and in my upbringing, which was quite a Presbyterian Scottish upbringing, we didn't talk about anything like that. And so I don't think that's altogether healthy. I think it's much better nowadays that still respecting that they are children, but I like what you said, that to teach them that the rights and the wrongs of your experience.
I did this, but actually, you know, it didn't do me any favours because of X, Y, and Z. Oh, okay, then, Mum, I might not do it.
Just, you know, whatever they ask, exactly what you said, you know, Katie, that whatever they ask, say, well, there's pros and cons to how you go about things.
Yeah.
And
take the myth out of it.
Yeah, and that's what happened with us, really. They just came to us and asked things. and we responded as what they asked for.
Yeah, so much better to be open to talk about it. And then they're more likely to come to you,
yeah,
aren't
and
they?
Open up to you, definitely.
And say,
yeah,
I was offered this last night, yeah, or whatever. And you know, if you react in the way, thanks for telling, yeah, me. And that's definitely how my mum was with me, mm-hmm, as well. I, yeah, was always able to speak to her about different things. And it had the first thing that she would always say would be, you know, thank you so much for telling me. Thank you for being honest. And as opposed to, what the hell are you doing that, yeah, for? You know, not that kind of reaction, you know, reacting in a really kind of calm, thank you for telling me way, making me feel that whatever I had done or wasn't sure about or whatever, I could go to her with. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely always felt that. And that's, yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah. And I've experienced that quite recently with my youngest. And, you know, something's happened and he's ended up coming to me and telling me. And I was so glad that he was able to have the confidence to come and tell me, and that we could, nice, deal with it, you know. Otherwise, at that age, I think, you know, had I not been that open mother, he would have hidden it.
That's
and
healthy.
It could have become a much more of a bigger issue.
Very
so
healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have quite a serious subject to end on. We've got 3 minutes left and we're going to talk about sex change drugs for 14-year-olds, okay?
Sex change drugs.
What, in that order?
Right, okay. Change drugs.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So, doctors should give sex change drugs to children as young as 14 if they think they are transgender. This is according to an influential organisation that helps set policies worldwide. The World Professional Association for Transgender Health also says girls should be able to have surgery to masculinise their chest when they reach 15.
Oh, this is a difficult one.
See, on my thing here is the kids, they're still growing.
Yeah.
Their hormones are still, you know, growing. Or not growing, but they're
changing.
And does anyone know what they want at the age of 14, 15? I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think by the time a teenager gets to 14, they're going to know if, you know, if they're a girl and they feel like, you know, they should actually be a boy, you know, mm-hmm, they should have the genitalia or whatever of a
yeah,
boy. I think they would definitely know at 14, but I also totally agree with what you're saying, is that their body hasn't stopped developing yet. But then I suppose that's why they're giving them the drugs, to kind of stop the development any
yeah,
further. But then shouldn't that be younger then? Because by the time they're 14, do you know what I mean? It's like, at what point do you do this?
Yeah.
Because surely it should be 11, you know? I mean, girls as young as 10 or 11 are starting their periods or whatever. Mm. So, I don't know.
At 11, there's no way that they
I really found that hard to answer, that one.
It is hard. I think it's a society we're seeing actually the removal of the tags male and female, women and men, and maybe we haven't quite got there yet. Does it actually matter if you're a man or a woman? You know, I always think to myself it's how you feel inside. And I think there are quite a few youngsters coming up now, teenagers, that don't want to be tagged as either.
No, exactly.
It doesn't matter what their bodies look like, how they feel and what they want to be is sort of sexless. But physically, I can understand at the age of 14, 15, you know, if you feel very uncomfortable in your body, and that's really, it's very individual, this. But if you really can't bear living in your body and you know it's wrong, then it must be a positive thing to do something about it. But,
yeah,
but I just see us going to one big happy sex, you know, and not bothering, you know. We'll have shared toilets everywhere and all sorts of things.
Absolutely. And have our mothers bring our children up from sperm donors.
Oh, yes. Brilliant. We'll end on that note. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, ladies, so much for coming in today. Katie Wells, Tracy Lecher and Fiona Paul. Lovely to see you. Have a
great
weekend.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food and Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus. Columbus.